I just want to clarify, is everyone here for a session called Collaborating in the Cloud and Across Devices with Office 365? Yes? Okay, that's good. You don't want to be in the wrong room. So my name is Kaberi. I'm a technical product manager with Office at Microsoft in Redmond. And the goal of this session is really to acquaint you a little bit with what the end users in your companies go through. I'm sure all of you have read the synopsis of this session, but I just wanted to sort of set the scene up front. I want to talk a little bit about our vision for Office going cross-platform and get into a demo which showcases a number of devices and how we're really delivering the same features across different endpoints. So before I get started, though, I just wanted to see, does anyone want to tell me what prompted you to come here for this session? What are you looking to walk out of this room with? And if you could speak in the mic, that would be great. Anyone? No one? All right. Well, I'm just going to hope that what I have planned for you today is something that will help you understand where we're going with Office. So just to tell you a little bit about me, believe it or not, I used to have this really boring, you know, typical business picture with wearing a suit with my face to the side like that. And I recently, on a whim, just changed it to this picture. And for some reason, I've been doing much better professionally. I work on a team called Technical Product Marketing in Office. Specifically on my team, we handle Office apps. Up here are some of my teammates. There's David Alexander. I don't know if any of you have been to his Sway session or maybe seen the Garage series that he was doing in the Tech Expo, but good stuff there. We're really focused on delivering new features, not just in the apps, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook, and OneNote that you know so well, but also really expanding our portfolio of productivity applications, and Sway is a great example of that. My role specifically, I work on Office across devices, devices and platforms, specifically Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, and in the case of Office for Mac, Outlook as well. And the reason why we've kind of reimagined some of our roles in our team is, as we go cross-plat, it's as important to work towards a vision of what the world will look like when all the features are the same. But until we get there, there are going to be differences, and it's important to know what's similar and what's different. So that's really where I come in. I work closely with the engineering teams on end-user features. A good example of this is we launched Office for iPad in March of this year, and it had a lot of positive reviews, and then we started getting requests for certain features. One of the features that was requested quite widely was printing. We didn't ship that in March, but we were able to, because it's an app in an app store, we're issuing updates, super easy to do that. We delivered the printing feature in less than a month. And since then, we've had two more updates and a lot more features, some of which I'd like to showcase in my demo today. So that's one of my major roles. And the other thing is, as you know, we have delivered a lot on different endpoints, and we're going to continue to do that in the next 12 months or so. You'll see a lot of things coming from Office. And so I play a key role on those product teams, on those product launch teams, so that I can share my knowledge that I gained from engineering and see how it manifests itself in all of the core marketing materials. So that's who I am and what I do. And with this in mind, I thought it would be really good to start with a vision statement that I really use as kind of a guiding light in how we're approaching Office, whether it's, you know, technical things like the features or even how we want to tell people the story of what we're doing. This is a quote by Satya Nadella from his blog post on the 27th of March. We live in a world where device types, shapes, sizes, and form factors are exploding. and will continue to do so. Devices extend our capabilities in ways that are uniquely suited to task, context, and occasion. He wrote this in his blog post, which is called A Cloud for Everyone on Every Device. And really, this statement encapsulates the way we're approaching Office going cross-platform. We think of a world in which a cloud is how a phone, a tablet, a computer, and a TV get on the same page and enable movement between them without any extra effort, which is exactly what I'm going to show in the demo. And the cloud is how your device becomes a part of your life. Otherwise, it's just a piece of hardware with apps that have capabilities. But we really want to help you transform those devices and make them productive in a way that you want. So by connecting you to the people, information, and experiences that matter to you, you really get to own your device, and I'll show you that in the demo. So with this task, context, and occasion being the theme, I want to tell you a little bit about how we're thinking of delivering features, because I get asked a lot, yes, you launched Office on iPad, or you're going to launch it on other endpoints. What guides the thinking of what features come first? Because believe it or not, on Office Windows client, we have 8,000 clickable functions. It has taken us a couple of decades to come up with that kind of capability, and it's not going to be that easy to deliver that whole set of features on a new endpoint. So we want to give you the features that matter the most, and then we want to be able to give you the next set of features which are most in demand and so on. So the guiding philosophy here is task, context, and occasion from that quote. So just to set the context of the demo, on desktop, whether it's PC or it's Mac, we think of the features in those devices to enable you to do focused work. When you need the full power and flexibility of the desktop, you need your mouse, you need your keyboard, you really need to be doing heavyweight stuff, you want to do something substantial. On the tablet, and I've deliberately separated tablet from phone because, yes, it's all part of the mobile story, but more importantly, the tablet is more for portable work. You're working with your fingers. We're doing a lot of things. All technology companies are making their apps more touch-enabled. We want you to accomplish more with your fingers, but that's really not where you're doing the kind of substantial stuff that you do on the desktop. So so the way we see it, it's portable work. And I'll show you that with pivot table interactivity on the iPad, where you're not building the pivot table from scratch, but you need to use it. You need to be able to consume on the go. With phone, it's slightly nuanced. Yes, it's portable work, but it's more work at a glance, when you need to stay connected to the office, when you're out of the office. I personally, I use it for email all the time. I do more email on my phone than I do on my on any of my tablets. And that's really some of the approaches that we've kept in mind when it comes to differentiating tablet and phone and how we think you use it. And finally, Office Online is the place where you can work in real time collaboratively when you need to get everyone on the same page. I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but it's difficult to get 13 people in a room. It's always easier to be like, here's a document, and share it with somebody, share it with all those 13 people, everyone can get in, and sometimes you can have a dynamic, real-time editing session, as I'll show you in the demo. Now, before I get into the demo, I'm sure you heard today in the keynote this morning that we are finally delivering, and this is, again, a great example of us responding, being really nimble. If you want something, we're here to give it to you, which is MDM capabilities managed by Intune. So there's another session. It's right there at the bottom, OFCB330, by one of our colleagues, Mobile Device Management for Office 365. He's going to walk you through all of that, but I thought I'd just call out some of the highlights. So we're targeting Q1 of 2015. And there will be Intune integration to support Office mobile applications for iOS and Android, as well as line of business apps. So, for example, if your company has certain apps that are custom built, they can also be wrapped in Intune and separated from any personal data on the same device. So Office 365 and Intune are coming together and to protect data on mobile devices without sacrificing user productivity. What this means is, for example, if I open up a document and I want to cut, and let's say it's a Word document or a PowerPoint, and I want to cut and paste and stick it in another document, in another app that's not wrapped, you're not going to be able to do that. Similarly, Office, if you want to save to a cloud storage solution, you can only do that with with OneDrive for Business. Also, let's say someone were to leave a company, the selectives wipe applies only to the apps that are wrapped, which are either the Office apps or the line of business apps. And this is both for iOS and Android. And also, when someone comes into a company and gets and brings in a new device, they have to first access, and if they want to access corporate resources, the device needs to be managed by Intune. So if they attempt to, say, connect to SharePoint or OneDrive for Business, they're not going to be able to. They're going to have to go to their IT admin and have that. These MDM has to be one of the features that was most requested when we launched Office for iPad, and we're really proud that we're able to deliver that in such a short time. So with that, let me step back into what you can expect in 2014 and 2015. Not a whole lot of detail, but I can confirm that we're expanding our Office application footprint across platforms and devices. We're releasing products to deliver on this mobile promise. And for some of our Office on existing endpoints, we're improving the current experience. So there's a lot going on. You'll see a lot from us starting next month. So I'm going to get into the demo. Before I get into the demo, I just wanted to describe a sort of typical user. Someone like me, I'm not just because of my job, I love my devices. And I don't always use devices on the same platform. For instance, the story of this person is that she uses a PC at work. She uses a Mac at home. She has an iPad on the go, and she also uses an iPhone. This could well be an Android phone as well, because all the capabilities I'm going to show you on this iPhone are also available on Android phone. So with that, I want to take you through a day in the life of someone who we call a prosumer, someone who's a professional and also a consumer, because they want to be productive not just in their home life, not just in their work life, but also in their home life. So I'm going to give you some examples as we go on. So let's get started here with this one. All right. So I'm sure many of you will agree, but the first thing, is this seven, six? Can someone help me here? It's not projecting. This one is six.
Six.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. So here I am in my iPhone. As soon as I wake up in the morning, and I'm sure many of you do as well, you want to check your email, you want to check your calendar, you want to know what's going on. What do you have planned for the day? So right here is the month view of the calendar in OWA. If I want, I can go to today. So going right here to today. And I look and I see that I have three meetings, one at 10, one at 2. And I also remember that I actually should have a conversation with my colleague, Garth, with whom I am working on a document. We really need to send that out. We're going to interact through the day, but we need to have a meeting at the end of the day. So I'm going to go ahead and create an appointment. Say review document. And because we're not going to have time to meet in person, I want to make sure that we can do this on a call. So go below here and go to more details. Oops, this should be Tuesday. Let's fix that. All right. There we go. And then because I have Link on my iPhone, you have Link the same way on your Android phone, so you could do the same thing. All I need to do is add an online meeting. I check that. And as you can see, it says here, location online meeting. So when he receives this calendar invite on any endpoint, he can just log into Link easily. So I'm going to do this and then invite him right here, Garth. All right, done. Let's send this. I should correct the time. Let's say at 5 p.m. There we go. All right, so I send this off. I now know what I have planned for the day. I'm still at home, but I'm already in work mode, and I can access my work environment right from my mobile phone on my bed. Now, after this, I might decide that I want to get breakfast and make sure that I'm as much up to speed on my personal life as I am with my work life. So I'm going to get to my Mac. So what I have here is my OneNote notebook. This is my personal OneNote notebook, which you can now share. You've always been able to share that with your work notebook, and so they're integrated. But over here, I'm looking at it in my Mac at home. I'm planning a trip to New York with my friend David. And what I did the night before is I put in a few things. So for example, I want to see Shakespeare in Central Park, put in some information there. And you can see that he's gone in after me. He went in probably last night and put in comments. So the DA3 that you see right there, he's put in our seat numbers because he made the bookings. And this is a great way to collaborate with other people, put all of your, a whole lot of information just in one place. So OneNote for Mac is something that we launched also in March of this year, and it's been hugely popular. I think we've had over 3 million downloads. And these capabilities, we keep adding to it. So just like Office for iPad, we've added new capabilities on OneNote for Mac, one of which is actually dragging and dropping a PDF, which I'll show you later. Now you can see here that David has gone in, he's done some inking. Mac doesn't have inking, but you can do that on a different device. He probably did that on OneNote on a Windows PC. The other really cool thing is, this is a pretty small sheet of paper. There's not a whole lot of information. But in the OneNotes that people have, there can be tons and tons of information. And, you know, you can't remember which sheet, which notebook, which section. So I'm going to show you our search capability here. So let's say down here I have Matt's photography exhibition at Henry Public on the 12th of November. So I'm going to go in and search for Henry Public. What you'll see here is not only is the text of Henry Public highlighted in the search, but also because of the OCR capabilities in OneNote, it even picks that up from a picture. It's pretty incredible, which allows you, you know, to save, for example, maps and pictures and all kinds of information just right here in OneNote, and you can easily go back to it. So with that done, I know that I have my trip planned. I'm really looking forward to it. I decide to get to work. Now, unlike before, where you had this one device and you took it home and then you took it back to work, people these days don't do that. So I'm going to leave this device at home. And while I'm on my way to work, I'm just going to carry this small device, which is my tablet. So let's switch to 6. So while I'm on the train getting to work, I might want to get some work done, and I can do that either if there's Wi-Fi or if there isn't Wi-Fi, you can have cellular data on your iPad. So I'm connected, and I open this document in Word. How many of you are familiar with Office for iPad? Have you used it? I see a few hands up. All right. So as you can see, this looks very much like you would see Office on the desktop. It has the familiar ribbon on the top, home, insert, layout, view. As you can see, under that, it has all the different menu options that you would expect. And the document renders beautifully. The table of contents is exactly intact. You can see here that it's been heavily worked on by many people. Michael and David have been working on this, so you can see the markup. If you want, you can actually change that. You can do no markup if you want and just see the clean document. But I'm going to go back and show the markup. All markup. All right. Because I want to actually go in and participate in this conversation. I'm going to switch on track changes, which is another little nifty thing that I wanted to point out. As you can see, this the toggle, the green toggle that I just used to switch on track changes, is a very iOS type feature. And yet, it's an Office app. It's got the ribbon on top that you're so familiar with. This is the sort of thinking that has gone into how we can make the apps unmistakably Office, so that when you step in and you use it in a different device, it doesn't look unfamiliar to you. But at the same time, it's optimized for the device that you're using. In the next Office for Mac as well, you'll see this change in the same way that we've introduced on iOS. We want you to have an Office experience, but optimize it sensitively for the sort of device and platform you're using. So here we are. What I'm going to do is step in here and add a comment. Great, we should update that. There we go. And because it's connected to OneDrive for Business, and also because there's autosave on all our apps, I don't need to do anything. It's already saved, already synced to OneDrive for Business, and whoever opens this will be able to see my comment without me doing anything. Another thing I wanted to point out is how sensitively we've optimized Office for iPad for a touch interface. There's no keyboard. You might want to do editing, but you also want to keep it nice and neat. So for example, right here, I think that this image is too big. So I'm going to click on it. You can see, again, iOS, cut, copy, delete, and replace is exactly the visual way that it's been represented is very iOS. And the grip handles, you might notice, are slightly bigger than they are when you're using a PC. And we've done that specifically because, you know, fat finger syndrome. You want to be able to easily do your work without feeling like you're just pointing at the screen. And you can see, if I made this smaller and I'm moving this image around, the text dynamically flows around the image really smoothly. And this allows me to think about where I want to position it. Nice, sensitive way of adjusting the app for the different platform. So that's what I'm doing on Word. I might want to jump into Excel. And I'm showing you this because this is one of the recent features that we updated. So a lot of people said, hey, we want to be able to use pivot tables. More importantly, we want to be able to consume a lot of data. We produce that stuff. And a good example is think of a pharmaceutical sales representative going from his office in a city to some other place. And he just wants to be sure that he's able to consume the data that's available of all the people that he's managing, the sales that are being made, and so on. I don't have a spreadsheet that reflects pharma data, but let's take this all-time Winter Olympic medal standings document, and let me show you how easy it is to pivot data and draw insights. So right here, we have all the different years. I can make this smaller. As you can see, it's beautiful, and it's got a lot of data. Probably not something that I've built on this device itself, but I can easily consume it. So let's go up here and pivot the data. I'm going to change the year and go to nation because I don't want all of them. I deselect it, and then I can selectively add. Here we go, West Germany. Let's add Spain, the Netherlands. And you can see that it dynamically updates. And it's such a nice way of being able to just get the insights that you need. You don't have to do a whole lot. So this is the sort of capability that you have in touch-optimized devices. You're going to see more of this kind of stuff, making it super easy for you. And that's it. You clear it, back to square one. So with that said, I've done these things while I've been on the go. I've been on a train. And now I want to go and do more substantial, heavyweight work on my PC. So let's switch to a PC, which is at my desk. This is a device that previously I used to lug home, take back to work every day, and now I don't need to do that. I just leave it on my desktop because everything is connected through OneDrive, SharePoint, and all the apps that really allow me to experience productivity wherever I am on any device I choose. So this is number 7. All right, here we are. Let me get to Excel. And maybe some of you have seen this before, but with Excel 2013, we introduced a lot of capabilities that allowed you to do a lot of to do this sort of work that was very time consuming and labor intensive before and make it super easy. So let me show you. Right here, I have some data. The data that's here may have, yes? Oh, is it? There we go. So the data that we have here has been pulled from some kind of internal software, something that's built, a database that we have internally. And this data right here, it's just not very easy to use. I'm not able to draw any insights from it. And my goal is to really go through this data and be able to figure out how we did in this last month. So I'm going to go over here and try and take out bits in that column and write them down here. So the representative, when I look at this, is someone called John. So I write down John, and then right here, Jenny. As you can see, this is called Flash Fill. It automatically fills up, and all I need to do is hit Enter. It's as easy as that. Right here, I do the same thing with events, because they're different categories of spend events. Advertising, same thing. Quite simply done. Now I have the information that I need, so I am going to see what I can do with it. You can see this little button over here. This is called Quick Analysis. It's a tool that allows you to quickly and easily analyze and sort your data with Excel's most useful tools. So let's find out what they are. You can see here that there is, let's do that again. There's formatting. I can do data bars, I can do color scale. And when I go over them, you can see what it looks like. A lot of useful things, especially this greater than thing. I used to use, you put in a little formula, be like, if this is greater than that, and then you need to code that. Now you don't need to do that. All you need to do is click here. Text and so on. So now right here, I'm going to go to chart, all the different charts that I would like with little previews of it, pulling from this data. I'm going to go here to tables. And I want to pivot the data here. I think I like this. This is what I want to do. I want to figure out advertising. I want to figure out marketing spend in these different categories. When you click right here, a new sheet will pop up with the row labels. And what I'm going to do here is copy this and go to my expenses trend. This is something that I've been building for a while. I have all of this info, and I want to add the numbers for the latest month. There you go, because I have a template and the bars appear immediately. So this is the sort of substantial work that you can do on Excel, and you do need to do this at your desktop. This is the sort of thing that you do between 9 to 5. So with that said, let's move on to Outlook, which is another app in which we do a lot of substantial work. So right here, I want to send a document. I want to highlight some enterprise capabilities that we have, specifically very much in line with the thinking behind MDM. I'm sure some of you have used this. You've enabled these for your companies. So I'm going to highlight it again. So let's say I want to send a document to my colleague, Bonnie. I go to BO, and I just, because I'm not paying attention, I hit Bob. Right away, you'll see on top, this is a mail tip. It reminds me, hey, you were sending an email to someone who's outside your organization. Are you sure you want to do that? If I want, I can override it by clicking right here. But if I intended not to send it to Bob and I wanted to send it to Bonnie, I would now have averted that situation. I'm also going to insert a file. Let's go to one of these documents. Customer list. Let's try this. As havings, there we go. It's a policy tip. This message appears to contain sensitive information. Make sure all recipients are authorized to view it. This customer list is a long list of data. It has customer names, and it also has their credit card information. Very sensitive, could get in trouble with the law. And these policy tips embedded in Outlook are enabling me to recognize that I might be making a mistake, whether it's deliberate or whether it is by accident. So these are some of the features that we have on Outlook, very sensitive to enterprise scenarios. Now, having done this, another common scenario that you have in the workplace is that you have to make a presentation. So instead of taking my PC and projecting, I'm going to go back to my iPad and project from there, because now we have PowerPoint on the iPad as well. So I have this nice-looking PowerPoint right here. This is the PowerPoint app. Looks very similar. All your slides to the left, the slide that you're working on is right in the middle. Home, insert, you have all these different transitions. You can do slideshow, and you can even review and add comments. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to project right here. So you can see on here just the slide. And I should have actually made some arrangements to show this to you. And you may be familiar with this from Windows, but we added this in an update on Office for iPad, is the whole presenter view. You have the slides that are coming up next on the bottom, and you have your notes here. And if you want, you can do some inking as well. You can even do some highlighting. Whoops. There we go. Highlighting. All of these things allow you to really draw focus to whichever slide or whatever part of the story you want to discuss at greater length. So let's clear this and take you through some of the slides. I feel confident. I'm presenting right from here. I had this loaded up. It's just super easy to walk into a room, not having to worry about anything, and project directly from your iPad and present with confidence. Another situation that you find is once you've presented, people ask you, hey, can you share that deck with me? And usually what you would do is you'd go back to your desk and then you'd email it to one person, two people, maybe even 10 people or more. And then the next day it'd be like, oh, I missed that presentation. Could you send me that deck? To avoid that, the best way to circulate your deck or any documents that you want is through Yammer. So I'm going to switch to Yammer here on my PC now that I've gone back to my desk. Let's see. This is number 7. So let's go to Yammer. How many of you use Yammer in your workplace? Oh, that's quite a few. So as you can see up here on the left, I am part of different groups, sales, operations, finance, after hours, where you know might want to discuss different activities that groups want to do together. So right here, I can upload the item from my, so I'm going to go to OneDrive, because I projected from my iPad, and then it got, because it was straight from OneDrive, it was saved, then I opened it with the PowerPoint app, and then I go straight here, Northwind Company presentation, open. While it's attaching, I notice here that if I post it, it's going to go to everyone in the company. I don't want to do that. I present it to the sales team. They're the people who are interested in seeing it. So I type out sales. I also want to make sure that my colleague Garth, who I work a lot with, knows that I've uploaded it here. He also worked with me on this particular presentation. So if he wants to add any extra comments or take questions from other people, he can do that. Say, here is the deck. Please let me know if you have any questions. All done. 99%. There we go. And that's it. I post. Everyone in the sales team can see it, can download it, and Garth as well can go ahead and add any other comments that he wants. So with that being done, I wanted to showcase what it's like to work on a document. I did it when I was on my iPad, but I was working by myself. I want to show you what it's like to work in real time. So I'm going to go here to a document that I've been working on, and I'm going to refresh this. This is in Word Online. Just make sure that everyone's... Now, when you go to Word Online, anyone can send you a document from their OneDrive or SharePoint, and then when you click on the link, it's going to open up in a browser, and you're going to have this option here. You can scroll down and see it. And then you can either edit in Word on the client app, or you can edit in the browser with Word Online. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Here we are. And you can see on the top right that Garth Fort is also editing, which is great because I know that we want to get some work done together. And he's traveling, so I know that we're not going to be able to do it. And here he is. You can see his cursor moving. That's Garth right there. And he's adding some more information. Here is a table showing the products that customers have loved over the last few years. That's great. While he puts in that information, I'm just going to go ahead and insert a comment. Hey, Garth, can you cite the data source? And I post that, and he can see it in real time. So he's adding some information there, and I'm watching as he goes, and we're having a collaborative working session, but it's so much more productive because we're there simultaneously at the same time. And I'm hoping that he has seen my comment. There we go. He has. Sure. He's written the source. And so sometimes, especially with a lot of comments and a lot of markup, it's difficult to know what was said when. And if you're done, you've already responded to someone's comment or you've incorporated that change, you can just click done there. So it's done. And if I want, I can just delete it. That way, the issue that we were discussing has already been addressed. So this is the kind of collaborative work that you can do online. Either on Word Online, you can do it on PowerPoint as well, PowerPoint and Excel, and OneNote. OneNote is truly, there's a question there.
I'm using this on-premise.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still working by Alinea, by Fail?
Yeah, could you repeat, could you start from the top?
I'm using this for on-premise. And if I use it, it locks the Alinea, the table, the other users working in.
Does it lock sections or users?
Yeah. Sections.
I see. It locks sections when someone is working on something, and that's to avoid too much conflict. Now, if both he and I were working on the same paragraph and adding things together, there can be conflict if it's happening at the same time. So sometimes sections are locked.
Yeah, I was missing that. In on-premise, you get a small, thin line on the left side of it. I was missing that in your Word document.
Yeah, and that's because I was adding a comment, but I wasn't actually working in there. If we were working both in the same paragraph at the same time in a way that that made it difficult for the application to register both changes at the same time, it would be locked for whoever comes in second.
Okay.
But great question. Thank you. So having done that, I can go off and do some of the other things that I had planned. So as I had mentioned earlier, we've been updating our apps very regularly. One of the cool new features with OneNote, and I'm opening my business notebook here. So as you saw earlier, I use OneNote at home. I also use OneNote in the workplace. And this is my business notebook. So I'm going to go here and in my documents, I know that there is a PDF that I wanted to share. And all I need to do is drop it in here. Either I can attach the file or I can insert the printout. and it's a PDF. And there you go. So my business colleagues with whom I'm sharing this, this is the OneNote. I could probably email it to them if it's not something terribly confidential. I could even post it to Yammer. But sometimes it's better to have everything in one place. I told you I work closely with engineering teams, work on a lot of virtual teams with a lot of other people for product launches. And we're always in a situation where there's vast amounts of info. And there's always a OneNote notebook where everyone puts in information as they're doing it. So it's a one-stop shop for everything. And this is a great example of being able to adapt to different file formats, not just Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So having done this, I think I've done a lot today at work. I know that I have a meeting with Garth, which I put on my calendar, but I don't really need to be at my PC for that call. I can just take it on my iPhone. So I'm on my way out, and I'm getting on the train to get back to work. Let me grab my iPhone. So before my call gets started, I'm going to check Yammer to see whether anyone responded to my deck. And it's loading. There we go. Here's the deck. Please let me know if you have any questions. Garth, who also worked with me, said the deck is in good shape. I have some data to put in slide 5. Ping me for the info. And he's also hashtag marketing. This is a great way of just like it does on other types of social networks, if you click on hashtag marketing, it's going to pull up a lot of other posts that are relevant. And he's also liked it. I can reply straight from my iPhone. Great. Please do. And post it right from my iPhone. Now it's time for that call that I had scheduled, so I'm going to hop into my calendar right here in Outlook Web App, Review Doc. Here it is. I'm going to click on here. And I have Link on my iPhone, so it's going to connect me. It's just being a little bit slow. It's going to pull up the Link app and take me into the call. We're joining the meeting now. And hopefully Garth is also in the meeting. There we go, two participants. There he is. I think the internet. So he showed us his video, and now he's loading a PowerPoint deck, and he's gonna swipe through the slides. So even though I'm not in the conference room, there are other people there maybe, but I can actually just follow along, because sometimes when you're on a call and there are all these people in a conference room, it's like a distant conversation. You have no idea what they're talking about. At least the conversation is signposted right here. And obviously, I can participate just as I would if I were in the room. So this is a snapshot of what it's like to live productivity through the Office apps, not just in the workplace, but at home as well, not just on your Windows device, but on all other devices and on different platforms. So I know we have plenty of time left, so I'm hoping we can use that for some questions. I also, like I said, have David and Ari here, and I think the three of us together can probably answer all your questions. Question right there.
What is happening regarding Office for Mac?
I'm glad you asked. Office for Mac is being worked on currently, and we will be releasing it next year in calendar year 2015. Question up here in the front.
When are you planning, and are you planning, and when, if you do, to add inking capability in Office for OneNote for iPad?
We have our OneNote TPM right here. Ari, do you want to take that?
I have an interesting opinion. Okay, I can tell you. Yeah.
Yes, so I'm the OneNote product marketer. Our goal is to have it
to all of you by end of calendar year 14. So that's the plan right now. And we have it on the Android. We have it on, obviously, Windows devices. But it's coming on the iPad very soon. So.
Cool. Yeah, you can give it to him. Any other questions? I think this might be the time of day. Either that or I've really impressed everyone and answered all your questions.
Is the VBA developer part is available on all platforms?
No, not at the moment. Right now, it's just on Windows.
But it's planned to.
We don't have it on our roadmap, but it's definitely in the backlog. We're aware that a lot of people want it. When I say roadmap, I mean something that we have planned coming out in the next few months. So it's not on that list, but it's certainly in our backlog. Any more questions? Well, I'm going to be here. So if anyone wants to come up here and chat, I'd love that. Thank you so much.